Well, hello everybody, and welcome to this podcast. This is our first podcast at the beginning of the new tax year. Happy New Year, everyone. And I'm joined today by one of my business partners, John Newsom.
Good morning.
Today we're going to talk about our usual subjects of the Bank of England, interest rates, inflation, and then we're going to move on and talk about a few other things which are happening in the economy, the markets, and our industry. But to begin with, John, inflation was down. The headline inflation rate was down from 4% to 3.4%, but core inflation did not fall. And 2 weeks ago, if you'd asked me what do I think interest rates were going to do this side of the pond and the other side of the pond during the calendar year, my guess would have been there would have been some kind of tokenary fall. And I think a bigger fall would have come from the States rather than here. I have to say that various things I have read over the last couple of weeks, I think sentiment has changed. And I think that the chances of interest rates falling now or dropping by more than 25 basis points during the current year, I think are quite slim. In America, the US employment figures were actually quite good. And I think that puts a bit more pressure on the Fed and limits the amount of downside with interest rates. And I think the other thing which we've spoken about in these podcasts over the last few months is the political and economic disruption going on around the world, in particular with the Middle East. And we've seen oil in the last few days creep over $90 a barrel. And as you keep on saying, John, that in itself is the biggest driver of inflation.
Yeah, absolutely. It's those pesky supply and demand curves. If you've got rising demand and relatively static supply, and you have a sort of O-level, as I would still call it, or GCSE, as my children might call it, sort of level of understanding of economics, you know that the price has got to go up. So these are the problems that rate setters have got. And as we said before, and every day that passes, I feel this more strongly, is that the world has become more susceptible to inflationary shocks. They may not be shocks that are going to go back to double digits, but these inflationary fires seem to come out of, if not out of nowhere, but you know, at the moment we have the oil price, you've got the problems with rerouting of tankers via the Cape of Good Hope. The world is, to my mind, more susceptible to inflation, and therefore ideas that we're just going to get rate cuts is wishful thinking. I think so much that goes on in the world nowadays is just wishful thinking. You know, the idea that we can sort of transition off fossil fuels in roughly 10 years, it may be something that makes sense in some ways, but it's madness. It cannot happen and it will not happen, because a large proportion of the world's population are still going to use the cheap energy that oil and gas represents. And when you've got 35% of the world's population between China and India, and we can all see how they're hoovering up cheap Russian oil, that tells you what their attitudes are. The Chinese built more coal-fired power stations, I think, in the last year. They commissioned six times more than the entire world put together. So you can either deal with reality or you can pretend that we live in a fairy tale where reality can be ignored. So if inflation is still nicely over 3% and you've got a 2% inflation target and you've missed that 2% inflation target for years and your credibility really is on the line, I am struggling to see that we are going to get the rate cuts that wishful thinking has plugged into stock markets. Because if you get it wrong from this point, what small amount of credibility remains is going to be ripped to shreds.
If I were a betting man, I would be putting a bet on to say there won't be three rate cuts before the end of this calendar year, but we will wait and see.
I pretty much agree with you. It's going to need everything to go right for that to be the case. And even if it does go right, I think it's pretty much going to be just happenstance. I don't believe that it is something that is structurally kind of wired into things now. There's so much that's going on that is potentially inflationary, that even if we get that, we could then be faced with, you know, the next 6 months, you've got these inflationary fires breaking out again. So I'm not convinced by it. And I think stock markets have been a little bit complacent in the assumption that this is all going to follow, you know, like night and day.
Moving on, the Public Policy Research Body, never heard of them before, but they have warned that in the UK, 8 million people could lose their jobs. That's 20% of the workforce as a result of this AI, which is artificial intelligence. That's somewhat worrying. I doubt whether AI is going to replace the number of jobs which they think it's going to replace. We all know that the quality of service from businesses like ours, from banks, from lawyers, accountants, etc., it's paramount to have face-to-face meetings with people, to be able to ring up somebody and be able to speak to them. If you are a call center, then it's different, but I don't think they can convert our industry into a call center or legal work or accountants, but that's what this public policy research body appears to be suggesting.
Well, an organization with a name like that and the term artificial intelligence, I think it probably goes together, doesn't it? There are shades of this whole kind of TMT madness. Do you remember from around 1998, yeah. 2000? Everywhere you turn, all you hear is AI and how it's going to transform everything in the same way that the internet, you just look at the businesses that were on massive valuations going back to that time. Anything tech just went up to crazy levels. The vast, vast, vast majority of it was not sustainable and it was just rampant speculation. So I'm not convinced that AI is going to be the massive driver of any sort of change. Clearly, there are certain aspects of work and technology that if you apply these algorithms to, it makes sense. But you've seen the stock market over the past kind of month or so chasing some of this stuff. It appears that it's now starting to back off a little. But I think some of it is a mania. Our minds must always remain open. But I am far from convinced that artificial intelligence is going to be the absolute game changer that a lot of folks think it will be. And if we're thinking about our industry, do you want your investments managed by artificial intelligence? I would like to hope that we can bring some real human intelligence to the job and try and do the job that way, rather than some artificial box ticking, painting by numbers kind of attitude.
So moving on to markets, gold has risen sharply since our last podcast, up sort of at least 10%, I would have thought.
Yeah, absolutely. What a surprise. We live in a world soaked in sovereign debt, soaked in personal debt, where we've had huge slugs of money printing, where governments are nowhere near balancing their budgets. And what a surprise, gold goes up. It's something that we've talked about for a long time, and you know, we've been very interested in gold. The disappointing thing is that the gold miners, as a rule, have not really kept pace with it. But with all that gold in the ground, what normally happens is that whatever happens to the price of bullion is magnified up and down with the gold miners. But it hasn't really caught fire yet, although in the last 2 or 3 weeks, there has been evidence that gold miners are maybe starting to catch up. But for all the problems of the world, I would argue that gold should do pretty well against that background. And I see no reason for us to change tack on that.
Yes, I was going to mention as well that whilst they're not quoted, they were quoted, both Asda and Morrisons. They were taken over, as probably most people know, and taken private, and they're funded by huge levels of debt. But both Asda and Morrisons appear to be making about £1 billion of losses per year. The quoted one is Casino, which is the French big supermarket, and that has been doing disastrously badly from a trading point of view on the stock market.
We don't buy supermarkets. I think they're, in the main, they're poor quality businesses. Their margins are thin. You've got the ever-present potential of price wars. The real attraction for private equity, I think, was that they had a lot of assets. Those stores could be sold and leased back. They could jack it up with debt. And so long as that debt didn't become too expensive, then you could see what their modus operandi was. Unfortunately, the steep rise in the price of that debt has rather queered their pitch. So poor quality business, now full of debt. You can only sell the assets once. They are examples, I suspect, of deals that if their owners could only go back in time, they wouldn't have done them.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. One other thing to mention, John, is Thames Water. It's got something like £14.5 billion worth of debt. Came to the market in, was it 88, 89, with no debt. And it's not looking good for Thames Water at this moment in time.
Well, really, it was all so sadly predictable. Just another example of dumb Britain. We have a regulator for that industry. What has the regulator been doing? Why did the regulator allow that business to take on £14 billion of debt without certain service provisions or without saying that if you do that, maybe you can't take dividends out or whatever? I mean, it's common sense. There's plenty of commentary coming out about it, but you hear nothing from the regulator. It's just another regulator that is expensively financed and does absolutely nothing. It's very, very simple. Thames Water should never, ever have been allowed to take on that level of leverage on its balance sheet, and the regulator has been asleep at the wheel. The problem is they should never have had that funding structure. To now want significant increases in water charges in order to fix the balance sheet, well, the horse has bolted a long, long time ago. So, again, it's just another example of people not doing their jobs and getting away with it. And then it blows up. And for my money, I think the regulator is bang to rights on it. I mean, sure, Thames Water has been run by idiots because they've virtually destroyed the business. But if it's a private business that's run by idiots and it goes wrong, well, then it's the shareholders and the investors. Everyone's got to take their lumps, as it were. But this is a regulated business that was allowed to do this. And it's just total incompetence that they were allowed to do it.
Lastly, we are now at the beginning of a new tax year. So that means that you can subscribe to ISAs. And there now has to be a general election during the current tax year. My inclination would be to get funds into ISAs as quick as possible. Taxes can only go one way, I suspect. And as my wife always says, they can only take from those who have, not from those who haven't. So do remember as well that your personal capital gains tax allowance has now halved to £3,000. And for most trusts, it's halved yet again to £1,500. But if anyone needs any help with either of those two things, do please get in touch. The last thing to mention, which put a smile on my face, is that the BlackRock boss has come in for criticism. For those who don't know, BlackRock is a huge American fund manager, and it also operates in the UK and Europe. But he's been heavily criticized for the firm's approach to sustainable investing.
Well, criticized by whom? There are 8 billion people on this planet. It is an impossibility for human intervention in the environment, in whatever. It just has to be there. It is hopelessly naive to pretend that we can suddenly just take up all these green ideas. It's something we've touched on before, but this industry, it is riven with ideas about investing that actually I don't consider are investing. A lot of these so-called green ideas are not going to, at the end of it all, deliver investment results that are going to pay people's pensions or give any form of capital appreciation. So I'm not convinced by any of it. A vanity project.
It does make you wonder. I think that some of these people with green agendas are trying to force our industry to do more. And the problem is, those in the know that actually sustainable investing doesn't always give you the return you're hoping for.
Absolutely. You know, we're either investing or we're not. And I think to a degree, this industry has forgotten about that. There's an awful lot of phony nonsense spoken. Going back to what you were saying about getting ISAs done and all the rest of it, we will be having a change of government. I'm pretty certain about that. Taxes will only go one way. So one needs to prepare for that and do everything that you can to try and protect yourself. And following the example of others, I mean, if you have two properties that you can live in kind of simultaneously and move from one address to another and not pay capital gains tax, you know, I mean, I think there's an example there for everybody. That's the kind of tax planning that really does work.
Yes, it's going to be very interesting to see how that one pans out. What I don't understand is why people are saying the police should investigate, because surely it's the HMRC. If there is a question mark as to whether you paid the right level of tax, it's HMRC's job and not the police to look into it. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. Today, we have covered a bit more about inflation and interest rates, how there's been a bit of a sea change in the last couple of weeks, in our opinion. And we've also talked about AI and sustainable investing. So hope you've enjoyed it. And please do tell your friends to listen to us, please. Thank you very much.
This material shouldn't be considered as advice or an investment recommendation. You should consult an advisor regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority prior to making investment decisions. All investments carry a degree of risk. The value of any investment or income received from it can go up as well as down, and you may not get back the amount invested. Information recorded within this podcast was accurate at the time of recording.